Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and it's our privilege to have you as our guest today on Peace Talk. Again, your place to find help, get hope, and discover peace. You know, many people battle cancer, and we're going to talk today about two lives that were entwined around one bout with cancer. A cancer that took the life of Ann Sanford. But her story of grace and of faith lingers on and is being told again by our guest today, her oncologist, in her struggle for cancer. Our guest today is Kashyap Patel. He's a medical doctor, an oncologist, and he's our guest that he treated Ann Sanford. He tells his story in his book, Raindrop From Raindrops to an Ocean, and we'll explain that in a minute. But I'm looking forward to hearing Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel, glad to have you as part of Peace Talk.
Thank you. Privilege is all mine, sir.
Just to introduce you to the audience, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm an oncologist, a person who treats patients with chemotherapy for cancer. I'm a true what we call melting pot of the world. I start my life initially in India for about 29 years, then I spent 4 years in England following the same dream of treating cancer patients, and then I came to U.S. back in 1996. I spent 4 years in New York, 2 years in Philadelphia, and then I moved down south here. And during my course of life, I've treated thousands of patients with different kind of cancers, but this Ann Sanford was one unique patient that I will always remember. I'm triple board certified, and what it means is that I'm accredited by the American Board of Internal Medicine to treat cancer patients, blood cancer patients. And I'm also certified in holistic and integrative medicine, where we help people with non-treatment intervention as well, and I'll talk to you briefly about it during the course of my interview. I enjoy reading. Spirituality is my quest, and I have traveled to remotest part of the world with the hope of finding the quality life.
Dr. Patel, I saw your bio, and it would take half the program just to discuss that. But there were some things about it that I noticed, particularly from your book, that, one, you're a researcher.
I'm a researcher, and I have published and presented almost about 50 different papers all over the world, beginning from Turkey to Netherlands to Toronto, Canada to Sweden. I keep writing, and I may be going to again Berlin later part of next year to present some more research I'm doing in leukemia. I also have written several articles. I've authored and researched on the cancer vaccines, including vaccine for melanoma. So I've always had a very deep interest in exploring the molecular part of the cancer, and I feel that there's a connection between the spirituality and what happens in our body.
Well, that's a theme that we have pursued on Peace Talk, but I brought that up for a particular reason, and that is, as a researcher, you're a person who notices detail, and according to your book, you journaled every patient. And so when you talk about a patient and differences between patients, it's because you're a keen observer of people's behaviors, aren't you?
Absolutely. And my style of practice, Larry, is a lot different than many other people that you would see. I don't wear a wristwatch. None of my office rooms have clocks. I devote as much time as possible to patients just to be with them. And what it does is it allows me to connect to the heart to patients. So when I talk to them about death, dying, anything that comes across during the course of my practice, I get so intimately involved that there is no reason that patient cannot share anything. And I feel that as an oncologist treating these patients, it's of utmost importance for us to create that level of confidence within the patient. And by paying full attention, I'm able to understand the family dynamics of the patient, what are their aspirations, what do they expect, because each time I come across a new patient, I know that some of them may not be here beyond 3 months, 6 months, a year or two. So my role is not just to inject poisons in form of chemotherapy into their body, but also to help them fulfill their bucket list. And I always talk to my patient when they come is, do nothing and going back to His Almighty is also an option, but if you want to do something between now and then, I'll be very happy to walk with you in this journey.
Well, tell us then about the day you met Ann Sanford, and what began to impress you as how Ann was different from all of your other patients.
Well, you know, Ann, I had known her before she came to my office because my son, who was volunteering at the hospital, had met her. And then one day I was getting ready to leave office. It was probably early or late winter in February, and one of the doctors calls, Dr. Patel, I want you to see this patient, an incredible patient. So even before I saw her, my mind was ready for an incredible patient. And she said that I want you to see her. And I said, well, you know, it's my half day off. I want to go home and spend some time with my son. And she said, no, please, you know, take this request from me and why don't you see her before you leave? So I said, well, send her in. And I was a little bit kind of, I wouldn't say annoyed, but impatient because I was getting ready to go.
You were being a little human, weren't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I wanted to spend time with my son because he was going to go to college in a year after that. So I waited, and then, you know, she walks in, and she had some kind of unusual peace that emanated from her when she walked in. And she had some spots on both the feet, so I thought that she had a disease called ITP, idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, where platelets go down because of infection, and we can fix it very easily with steroids. So jovially, I started talking to her, her husband, and her daughter, and then I said, well, you know, let me run your blood test. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. And I went back and looked at the blood slide where I look under the microscope the type of cells that she had. And, you know, I completely lost there because while I was hoping to see just plain, simple viral syndrome, which could be corrected with steroids by preventing antibody reaction to platelets, what I saw was some monstrous-looking cells. And I've been dealing with leukemia for 20 years, and in a second I knew that I had prematurely become jovial with her. So
she was very sick when she came to see you.
She wasn't that sick looking. I mean, she had a bad disease, but again, I mean, surprisingly, she looked pretty normal for somebody who had leukemia. And when I went back to her, no, I had to, I mean, I kept two glasses of water, and I had to take one of the nurses with me, and then I sat down, and her daughter, Connie, who I've known as an ER nurse, knew there was something wrong. So after 2 minutes of peace and silence, I started, I said, Ann, I'm afraid you may have a serious disease. It could be leukemia. There's a pause of about 5 or 10 seconds. And then she says that, well, I'm thankful to His Almighty for Him giving me leukemia. And I've never had this sort of response. There have been many patients with tremendous faith who have exhibited different kind of responses, but this was one patient where I was completely transfixed. I was almost like mesmerized. So I had to get my composure back after 2 minutes because I thought she was in denial. And so after 2 minutes, I restarted conversation. I said, Ann, this could be fatal. And she then says that, well, all the more better because if I'm alive, I'll be his witness. If I die, I'll go back to him. And I've never seen this sort of conversation, never heard this sort of conversation. I'm sure there are many people like her who are truly awakened souls who know who they are, but this was, for me, the first ever encounter with a patient of this sort of magnitude.
Our guest today is Keshav Patel. He's an oncologist, and he's telling the story of his first visit with Ann Sanford, a person with cancer. And so let's continue that story. We have just about a minute left, doctor, before we have to take our break.
Mm-hmm.
So then what began to proceed from that point? How did she continue to impress you after that first conversation?
Well, after that conversation, you know, we quickly started wrapping around things, and I knew that we were racing against time. So I talked to her about my colleague who's right in the Greenville, Dr. Spitzer. He's a bone marrow transplant physician. I called Gary and I said, Gary, can you help me look after this very brilliant, very charming lady who's got acute leukemia? So in no matter of time, we arranged for her to go to Greenville, and I was able to send her to Greenville. And within a matter of a week, she started taking chemotherapy. But as you can see in the book that you read, is that during her first chemotherapy, instead of being worried about nausea and vomiting and losing hair, she would visualize Jesus walking through the chemotherapy droplets, trying to clean every possible bad cells in her body. So again, this was an amazing, incredible patient who, even in the middle of night when chemotherapy poison is being injected in her body, would visualize that Christ is going through her body, cleaning each and every dirty cells that we don't need. This was like a very unique way of fighting cancer.
Dr. Patel, we have to take our break, but our guest is Dr. Keshav Patel. He's an oncologist, and he's telling us the story found in his book, From Raindrops to an Ocean, and he's telling the story of his treatment of Ann Sanford. And when we come back, we're going to tell the story, the doctor's going to tell the story, how this lady of faith and grace, how her life changed his life. So stay with us. We have to take 2 minutes off. We'll be right back, and we'll finish this story. It's a challenge that will change your life. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
I hope you never miss a single edition of the Mike Huckabee Show. Oh, yeah, we get into politics and talk to the newsmakers every single day. They want to be on our show because they know we'll talk to them straight and clear. But it's not just people who are in politics. We talk to folks from the entertainment industry. We do movie reviews. We try to make sure that we cover all the landscape of politics and culture. Join us every day on the Mike Huckabee Show.
Weekday afternoons from noon to 3 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
We used to think all lung cancer was the same.
Now we know that each tumor may have a different genetic makeup.
Several different molecular types of lung cancer have been identified.
By performing molecular testing on a lung cancer tumor,
doctors can try to determine what's causing the cancer to grow.
It's a different way of looking at lung cancer.
Because lung cancer can affect anyone.
The young or old.
Smokers or non-smokers.
You or me.
Knowing the molecular profile of my tumor helped determine my treatment options.
Anyone can get lung cancer, and not all lung cancers are the same. Talk to your doctor to see if molecular testing is appropriate for you. Visit lungcancerprofiles.com to learn more. That's lungcancerprofiles.com. A public service of 6 leading lung cancer advocacy groups with support from Pfizer Oncology.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're happy to have you. If you stayed with us through the break, glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Keshav Patel. He's an oncologist whose life was changed by a patient that he watched as he treated her cancer, which wasn't in the end successful, and succumbed to the cancer. But in the way that she lived, or perhaps in the way that she died, Dr. Patel's life has been forever changed. So, doctor, let's come back to it now. What was it about Ann Sanford that changed your life?
Okay, so I remember, you know, again, going back to my first conversation, she ended the first meeting with us saying that, "Let thy will be done." And every time I would talk to her about, you know, her cancer getting into remission or her cancer coming back, she would always talk about that he's always in control and let thy will be done. So during the course of a treatment, we always talked about different ways. You know, I've looked at the world, and I'm sure from the book you can figure out I have a very eclectic background. You know, I grew up in a Hindu family. I went to Catholic high school. I had a girlfriend who was a Muslim. Then I had a very close Jewish friends. So I've been all over the world, and my faith has been kind of continuously mixed between the science, Eastern, Western, and Middle Eastern religions. So we used to have a lot of intimate conversation about what life is and what life could be and what would happen after life. And each and every time, her conclusion was, "Let thy will be done." So Anne's story lasted for about 10 months. She struggled with leukemia. She got into complete remission in about 6 months. And then one day, while she came for a follow-up, we realized that cancer had come back with full vengeance. Absolute, all possible molecular abnormality you could imagine had occurred in her bone marrow. So we decided to go ahead with a bone marrow transplant on her. And in the whole course of going up and down, not knowing if she's going to be alive tomorrow, she was always smiling, she was always charming, and she was always full of life and spirit and faith. So she passed away in the spring, I think in early spring of 2006, if I'm not mixing up the dates. And then I forgot about her somewhat, and then I went through some personal life challenges in 2009, where my son had I wouldn't say depression, but he had faced challenges, emotional challenges, while studying at Duke University. His grandmother passed away, and within 2 weeks, he lost his best friend. And 2 weeks after that, I developed some pain in my mid-back. This was following a tennis game, so I went to a heart doctor. And I'm still surprised as to how come I went to a heart doctor after having had a back pain. And when I went to him, he kind of ridiculed me. He said, "Well, you know, you don't need to come to a cardiologist. You go to orthopedic surgeon." And I said, "No, can you help me here?" So they took me to the cath lab and put me through sleep. And as I woke up, I saw six cardiologists surrounding me. And I knew that there was something wrong. One of them came and told me that I had blocked coronary arteries, the widowmaker artery, and that it could possibly cause death in about 1 out of 4 patients. And everything came to a halt and a pause then. I looked at the ceiling and I looked at walls around, and all I could see was a clock ticking in front of me. I had a reaction that had my own clock started ticking. And amongst the confusions, half, you know, sleepiness from the tranquilizer I had been placed on, I could hear Anne's voice again saying that, "Let thy will be done." So this was the moment where I realized how much profound impact she had on my personal life.
Dr. Patel, I'm going to go back to that for just a second, though.
Mm-hmm.
As I read the book, she never once, in what you recounted, she never once told you about Jesus dying on the cross and things like that. She always just talked about hope and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that y'all had these great conversations, but she witnessed in the case by the way she had faith and the way she lived her life.
She had every single moment and second that she had lived her life. She had faith and she had witnessed His Almighty Christ every single step in her life. And it's very unusual, Larry, to see someone, you know, it could be one time, two times, three times, five times that you could say that I have faith. But in course of over a year's time, where you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow, where you don't know if you'll be with the same people tomorrow, in that situation, to be continuously uplifted in spirits, to be continuously optimistic, not for the outcome, but for whatever happens, it's going to be His Almighty's desire, was one of the most profound and impressive thing. And I would tell you that she has reached far, far beyond what we can just talk, because I found it always difficult to talk to patients about end of life. But when I heard this conversation, let thy will be done, and if I am alive, I'm going to be His witness. If I am not alive, I will be going back to Him, because you know, I'm going back to Kingdom of Heaven. And this stuck with me to the point that any time I have a very difficult conversation that I have to bring up to patients. Now, mind you, you know, as an oncologist, we are not supposed to be bringing up the issue of religion. I mean, that's some of the other what national societies prohibit us from doing it. But for those people who are willing to take some spiritual help, I'm always able to, you know, rise above those inhibitions and talk to them about the conversations I used to have with Anne and how it helps her and how it has helped many of my other patients as well.
I want to read something directly from your book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anne knows that she's within hours or days of her death.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to you, Dr. Patel, you have truly been a godsend. You have made this journey so much easier for my family and me to weather. You've done all you can for me now.
Mm-hmm.
May God bless you. My desire is to see you someday in the kingdom of heaven with our Holy Father. And those
mm-hmm.
were Anne's final words to me. I couldn't speak at all. My voice was choked with tears. I said my last goodbye to the lady who had so touched the most inner part of my soul. I bet that paragraph still touches the inner part of your soul, doesn't it?
It does, because, you know, there are not many people that you come across in life who leave an indelible impression in the life. Also, there are not many people who really are able to influence physicians, let me put it for the lack of better words. And on top of it, throughout the journey, even when there was a time when she was almost going to be put on a breathing machine, I came to see her at Greenville Memorial Hospital, or St. Francis Hospital, and when she saw me, she almost got up and hugged me. So I could feel that in the midst of what we call the encircling gloom, she was somebody who had always hopes of being full of spirit, full of life, full of faith, and full of divinity. So if you were privileged to have seen her during her life, you probably would have felt that she carried this distinct aura around her about what she was, what she believed, and how she was helpful to everybody that was involved in her life. And I would still say that there are many, many people who still come to me who live in our community. They still remember Anne as somebody who has left completely indelible, unerasable impression of a saintly character in the life.
When I read your book, and I don't necessarily want to give it away, but I read and read and read and read, and I kept saying, did this doctor ever really come to know Jesus, come to know Jesus? And you left it to just about the last line of the book
mm-hmm.
when you basically said, yes, mm-hmm. you came to faith through the life of Ann Sanford. Mm-hmm. You've only got about a minute. Tell us what that's been then to you since you came to know the Lord.
Well, you know, I've actually been to Jerusalem. I went there 2 years back to take a pilgrimage. And then I felt, you know, as I was walking through the Holy Sepulchre, I walked through what we call the upper room, and then I walked on the Via Dolorosa, which is the path of pain that Christ took for humanity. And then finally, you know, me and my wife went and saw that Holy Sepulchre. There was about 6 hours long line, and I said, do I want to go through this line? Not. Finally, we went through. And there was a whole different experience of peace, calm, serenity, and blessings over there. So I clearly feel that there has been a huge influence that's lingering on in me, in my anxiety and curiosity to know Jesus more and more. So I've started actually reading a whole lot more. Before that, my exposure to Christianity or Christ was very, very minimal. But as each day goes by, I'm learning more and more about his life and his journey. So I'm at inquisitive phase that I'm continuously exploring.
Well, in the next to the last paragraph, as I just told your audience, it says, and this we'll have to end with because we're down to the last minute. You said, in full assurance of faith, I do willingly accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the only hope of salvation. And that was the story of a woman's testimony in death, her faith and her hope that changed the life of Dr. Keshav Patel and made him a follower of Christ. Doctor, thank you for being with us. Our prayer is that somebody will hear your interview today and hear the story of your life. Well, go get your book, Raindrops to an Ocean, and read it through and read the story of a gracious lady of faith who lived in her death as a faithful witness to Jesus Christ, and that changed your life. And it'll change the life of anybody who hears the story of Jesus and life and hope and peace. Thank you, Dr. Patel. Thank you for listening to Peace Talk today, because this is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.